It's a joy and a blessing to be with you this morning. Grateful for the opportunity. We've wanted to come earlier already and weren't able to make things come together in that way. But God bless each of you this morning, and may the Lord fill our hearts this morning. That's my desire and my prayer here this morning, is that the Lord would come and minister to each heart. And I bring you greetings from Faith Christian Fellowship back in Ohio, and would also welcome you to come, and especially so in this next week and a half, starting Thursday evening and going through the 31st. We're having tent meetings, so it's an occasion we haven't had now in 4 years, so because of the COVID and all. So if your family needs some refreshment and so forth, why, I welcome you to come. It'd be a great blessing. I was looking across the audience a bit and realized that either I'm getting older or you're getting older, and maybe both. Probably so, but some of you were in Bible schools in days going by back at Charity, and some of you at Charity, some of you at Ephrata, and remember those days. Those were good days, and the Lord can do the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Just, He is the same, so we're grateful for that. Maybe before we get in the message, could we kneel together if you're able to do that? Oh God, our Father, we call upon you here, and we're just asking you to come and minister to us. I ask you, Lord, to break the bread of life to us. Lord, you know exactly the needs of my own heart. You know exactly the needs of everyone in this room. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you would minister to us, and Lord, bring encouragement. Where encouragement is needed, bring strength, Lord, where strength is needed. Pray, Lord, for the anointing of your Spirit upon my own heart as I share the word here this morning, and just pray that it could minister to the hearer, the things that you want it to minister to. Lord, take it beyond what I've said and what I say here today, just to the very core of our being, Lord, and minister there. Lord, without this bread, without this manna from heaven, Lord, we're famished. We die, Lord. And so, God, we pray, minister to us in that way here this morning. Bless this congregation, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the blessing, your blessing to be upon them as they are together as family, as they minister to this community and spread the gospel abroad. I pray your blessing upon them. Bless the leadership here. Pray that you would anoint them with your Spirit. Give them grace. Give them wisdom from heaven. And pour your grace upon their lives. So thank you, Lord, for all you've done. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is this what you use to rub off the board here? There is no greater peace than to be at rest with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. That's good. That's good. I'm sorry. But the message here this morning, I'll do that. I'm going to write on the board the title this morning. A 14-letter word that we don't hardly hear anything about. And I think it's time we hear about it. Maybe some of you have heard a recent message on that. I'm going to start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27 to verse 31. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I'd like to just consider just for a moment here what a joy and what a blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. We have so much in Christ Jesus. He says we have wisdom there. We have righteousness there. We have redemption there. And I skipped sanctification there because we're going to talk about that. And it's all in Christ Jesus that we have these things. And they're beautiful, beautiful things. I think about the atonement for our sins that Jesus made on the cross, how he washed our sins away and gave us peace. How many of you remember that day? Yeah, for me it was like over 39 years ago when I initially found the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive and cleanse all of my sins and make me a new creature. And I haven't been the same since, and I haven't regretted it since. If you haven't found that, you can still find it. It's still available today, in this day, 2022. What a blessing we have. Forgiveness of sin and peace with God, that's redemption and that's salvation. Being accepted in the Beloved. Well, this part that I'd like to talk about is sanctification through Christ Jesus that we have. And we'd like to answer three questions here this morning. Number one is, what is sanctification? Number two, what needs to be sanctified? And you're going to help me with that, so you'll be thinking about that. And number three, how does God go about to sanctify us? It's a work that God's been doing ever since I started this journey 39 some years ago. The Lord has continued to sanctify me. I have some good friends that are older. Brother Joe Tyndall, some of you know Joe Tyndall. They're not with our fellowship right now, but they are. He was such a blessing and an inspiration in my own life. And him and I would have many heart-to-heart talks, and it was just good. And this is one thing that he would often say, is that God is still refining him. God is still working in his life. And I looked at his life, and I'm like, you know, brother, I just think you must about have it together. You know, and he would shake his head, no, not at all. It seems like the older I get, he says, the more God wants to sanctify his life. What a blessing. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'd like to look at, what is sanctification? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 1, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Think about that. God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. I'd like to draw your attention also in verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification.
So I think it's right and good for us, if the will of God is that we be sanctified, shouldn't we have somewhat of an understanding of what sanctification is in our lives? What does it look like? What should it look like in our lives? So we want to define what is sanctification, because it is the will of God. There are people who teach that, you know, we're saved, and then as time goes along, you know, we have meetings, we have revival meetings, we have special meetings that where then, you know, you can come to the altar and you can receive this second work of grace in your life, where God sanctifies you and fills you with His Spirit. And to them, that's sanctification. We call it the second work of grace. Well, I'm not here preaching the second work of grace. I'm preaching it, yes, but I'm preaching the third and the fourth and the fifth all through your life. We need this work of grace in our lives. It is a work of grace in our lives. And being filled with God's Spirit is very important. You can have that right from the get-go, right from the beginning, as you turn your life over to Jesus Christ. It's not a once-and-done experience. Sanctification is not, but it's ongoing work of God in my life to rid me of the things that are not pleasing to God. We're defining what is sanctification and what does it look like. It's an ongoing process of becoming more and more fashioned into the image of Christ, where our lives mirror Jesus' life. Does your life and my life mirror that of Jesus Christ? And it's those areas that do not mirror his character and his life, that is where sanctification comes in. God wants us to mirror the life of Christ. When others observe my life, do they see the reflection of Jesus? Just for a few definitions here concerning sanctification. It's found in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. So we have Hebrew and Greek definition here, very similar. Hebrew definition would mean to be clean, to make, pronounce, or observe as clean. And also another word that is used in this definition is to be holy. And then in the New Testament, this word is to make holy, that is, purify or consecrate, to venerate, to regard with respect and reverence, to hallow, to be holy, sanctify. Those are all words that are used concerning this word sanctification. Now in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 16, he says these words, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." That word holy is this word sanctification, or actually it's the root word where this word sanctification comes from. This word holy, be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. In the Webster's, we have in 1828, the Webster's Dictionary, to separate, set apart, or appoint to a holy, sacred, or religious use. I looked at this verse in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. I think it's a beautiful verse here that maybe speaks into, or gives us a word picture of what it means to be sanctified, to be set apart. "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made." That's, I think, a beautiful picture. God made Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested from from all his labors. And he sanctified this day. He set it apart. And we're in this pattern of that yet today, where we set aside this day as unto the Lord. He set it apart, sanctified that day. That's what he's talking about. That's what it looks like. Another part of this Webster's definition in the third point was to purify, to prepare for divine service, for partaking of holy things. I think about this example at Mount Sinai. When the children of Israel were going across the desert there on their way to the promised land, and at Mount Sinai, where God came down upon the mount with fire, and he wanted to talk to the people. And in Exodus 19, verse 10, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and bathe." So, it gives us another word picture of what sanctification begins to look like in our lives. It was interesting to me in Africa, and some of you would know this yourself, having been there, but the people have this kind of respect towards God. On a midday week, if they had a midday service, those people would never, or on a Sunday, would never come to church not having bathed themselves first. There was this respect. They wanted to sanctify themselves. And I think we need that kind of purity, that kind of vision of God, that God is a holy God, and even our physical bodies make a difference in how we sanctify ourselves to approach Him. Also in Exodus 29, we can read how that they took Aaron and his sons and put on him the ephod, and they killed a ram, and then they dipped the finger into the blood and touched it to the right ear, to the right thumb, and the right big toe, and this sanctified them to the ministry in the tabernacle. Aaron was to minister in the tabernacle. We also know the story of Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, and I don't quite understand all of what happened there, but in Leviticus 10 is the incident in verse 1 to 3, and we won't read it for the sake of time, but they offered strange fire to the Lord, and they received the judgment of God. Their lives were taken because of it, even though they had been sanctified to the priesthood there, to minister in the tabernacle, to offer sacrifices. They had been sanctified to do that, but something happened that they made strange fire, and God brought judgment upon them. Just bringing out, God is a holy God, and He doesn't play around. And He's a holy God to us today. And we shouldn't play around either with things that would bring about the judgment of God upon our lives. When they made the vessels for the tabernacle, and later also in the temple, I believe they were special vessels that they made. Specifically, they used very skilled craftsmen in the crafts that they were needed in, whether it was the cups or the candlestick or all of those articles that they made. I think they were very specially made, overlaid with gold, and very precious. But you know, they were just made of ordinary stuff. They were made of ordinary materials. In fact, they were earthly materials. And they weren't sanctified. They were not set apart or holy at the point in time that they were being fashioned and created. But when that blood touched those articles, and they became set apart, they were no more just ordinary. And I thought about some of that. I thought about the story in Daniel. After the children of Israel had given themselves over to idolatry, and God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come and to capture them and take them off to Babylon for 70 years. And we have in that time frame, we have Belshazzar, who was throwing a party one night, and he remembered these vessels that had come from over in Jerusalem from the temple, these golden cups, and he remembered that, and he said, "Hey, let's bring those cups in here, and we're gonna drink from those cups tonight. This is a party. We're gonna have a good time here." And what did it do? It brought the judgment of God. What was with those vessels anyway? They were set apart. That's what was with those vessels. And suddenly, there was a phenomena that happened that none of us has ever seen. God's hand came down with his finger and he wrote on the wall. We know the story, don't we? So they would take these normal, just natural, earthly products and put together a vessel. But it became separated unto God through the sprinkling of blood, and it became holy unto the Lord. Now, I just love that picture because I think it portrays in the New Testament just who we are. We are just made of dust, aren't we not? The psalmist talks about that he remembers our frame, that we are but dust. But not only that, God has taken us. Those of us who have received that blood of Jesus Christ, that atonement for our own sin, and we've taken that personally for ourselves. And he sanctified us. He set us apart. He's made us new creatures in Christ Jesus, where we were alienated at once from God. Now we are fellow heirs with Christ. Isn't that a beautiful picture? It's because he sanctified us and he's setting us apart. And we are to be set apart for the purpose of God, set apart for him, for his kingdom. No longer our own, we are bought with a price. Leviticus 11, verse 44 says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth." Just a few other verses concerning sanctifying ourselves. In Leviticus 20, verse 7 to 8 says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." 2 Chronicles 7, verse 16 says, "For now have I chosen and sanctified this house," talking about the temple, "that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." And as we look at the New Testament heir in this aspect of the temple, I think the New Testament would portray that it's no longer a building, a place where God comes and resides in a building. But he says, "Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost." Christ dwelling in us. We the temple of God's. And God has chosen and sanctified this house for himself. Be ye therefore holy. As we look at that, God wants a people that is set apart for him. So I hope that helps paint a bit of a picture of what I'm talking about here this morning concerning sanctification. Normal earthly vessels that God has taken, and he's washed our sins away, and he's cleansed us, and he made us right with God, where we have peace with God. And then he wants to come, and he wants to dwell there in this temple. But, you know, we find that we're still in this natural, earthly, fleshly body. And there are things in this natural, earthly, fleshly body that are, I would call them earthy. They're earthy things. It's things that where we respond in ways that are not Christ-like. We respond in the flesh. Those are the very things that I'm talking about this morning that Christ wants to become our sanctification and lay his finger upon those areas so that we become more like him, Christ-like. Sanctification. Let's think about what needs sanctification here. Number two, God was concerned about defilement in the Old Testament, was he not? He was concerned about defilement, things that defile. God hasn't changed. In your life and my life, God is still concerned about the things that defile us. Think about it. Where does your mind go? I hope you're just opening your heart to the Lord and saying, God, show me those things. Because we don't want to be there. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 to 21 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." And then he says something profound. He says, "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." God is still concerned about defilement. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I'd like for us to notice that present continuous tense. Let everyone that nameth. It's an present continuous term. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ. Do you profess today to be a follower of Jesus? And if you profess that today, that is naming the name of Christ. And he says, let's depart from iniquity. That's sanctification in our lives. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, that's sanctification. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet or made useful for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I'd like to ask the question, what does he mean when he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these? What are the these? What are the things that God wants to purge from your life and my life? What are those things? He mentions gold and silver. Well, we know God wouldn't want to purge the gold and silver from our lives, right? He'd only want to purify those things and make them more pure. Put them in a kettle. You know how they purify gold? You know, they put it in the kettle, and we know that they turn the heat up, and that goldsmith is there, and he's watching that gold. And the question was once asked by an onlooker as he was there monitoring this gold being refined. He's like, "Well, how do you know? How do you know when this gold is ready? There's dross coming up to the top, and he keeps skimming it off. How do you know when this gold is fully refined?" And he said, "When I can see my reflection, when I can see my reflection." And I think that's Jesus turning up the fire, turning up the heat. He wants to refine the gold in us. But he also talks about wood. There are vessels of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. And I would think, maybe this wood and earth, I'd like to consider some of the wood and earth in us and some of that leading to dishonor. Maybe I'm thinking on the negative this morning a little bit, and I think it's okay for a little bit here. Because I think God wants us, like he said in the rest of the verse, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Let's think about the these. Maybe this wood and earth is a bit of the things that I would naturally do. Things that would naturally come out of my mouth if I smash my finger. things like that. Think about it. Let's list some of that wood and earth. And this is where I need your help this morning. And I don't know if your congregation does this, but I like to draw my congregation back home into helping me in the message. Let's list some of these things of wood and earth that are in us that need sanctified, that need purged, that need to that the dross needs to come out of our lives. I think all of us are pretty real, right? Can we just be honest about what we face? You know, maybe it's not something that you necessarily are struggling in, but you know this is something in your life that you've had to work on and be sanctified in. Help me out. We're going to just write a few of these things up here. Anyone? Start talking. That's a good one. Our thoughts. Keep on talking. All right. Our attitudes. Others. Both sides of the room, we all face it. Others. Desire for pleasure. Others. I'm sorry? Looking for attention for ourselves. I'll just write, look. Actually, let me do this differently. And you can fill in the rest for ourselves. Yes. Others. Pride. Others. Self-consciousness. We'll get yours. I'll just do it that way. Yes. Fear. Others. We had two of them going here. Selfishness. Selfishness. Is that good? Others. There was another one. Desire for control. Yes, good. Others? I'm sorry? Tone of voice goes along with our attitudes here. It's good. That's a really, it just really comes together, doesn't it? It hits us square. Lukewarm? Is that what you're saying? Lukewarm? You know, Jesus said in Revelation here that this is one of those things we need to repent of, right? He says we need to repent of it. There's things in here that we need to repent of. There's also things in here that while we may need repentance of, it's also a work of sanctification that God wants to do there. It's good. Others? I'm sorry? Gluttony, thank you. Help me out. You're going to have to help my spelling, I think. Say it again. Tony. Is that right? This is kind of messy here, but good. There was another one, I think. Frustration. Others. So could we say our character? Is that close to what you're thinking? Disposition. Maybe end our character comes with that. Kind of what we're born with. Yeah. How about this one? Young men? Old men, all of us. What about our eyes? Do they ever need sanctification? You know, if you get a piece of dirt in your eye, all of a sudden you want something to get that out, right? Lord, help us. Looking down on others goes along with pride, doesn't it? I have another one here I'd like to put down. Does any of you ever need your habits sanctified? How about young people, our response to our parents? And when the list could go on, right? It's how we relate to our authorities. All that makes a difference. governmental authorities. Think about that. What her attitude is towards even the government. I think it's good for us to consider all those things. Things to be sanctified. Things that are wood and earth. Things that do not glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. Things that don't bring honor to Him. In fact, they bring dishonor. Depends how things turn out here. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these. Now, that doesn't mean that you will never face it again. All right? I want that clear. We are in this body. We are in this flesh. And it seems as though we need continual sanctification in these areas. And there are things that help us to walk uprightly in these areas. And we don't have time to get into all of those. But this wood and earth, these things that are natural, these things that come naturally for us. I like what Paul says in Galatians chapter 4 in verse 19. He says, "My little children." Paul called them little children. You know, children have a need of sanctification, and God told us how to do that as parents. It's more than just taking the rod. There's more than that. There is other measures as well, but the rod is one of those things that the Bible teaches us as parents to give direction to our children. There are things that need sanctified in their little lives. You know, they can't just lay on the floor and kick and scream and carry on. You know, well, they can, right? They can. But we don't allow that. We don't allow that. I think sometimes we adults have never learned. No, we won't lay on the floor and make a big show like that, but maybe we pout and, you know, things are just not going my way. And we're frustrated and we're angry and we have all these things that need sanctified in our lives. God help us. I didn't finish the verse. "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." That's what I want to get to. Until Christ be formed in you. Paul says he travails till the nature of Christ, Christ's own character, is formed in us. He was praying to that end. Oh, I wish I'd be on his prayer list. Don't you? You know that Paul was praying this for these people at Galatia. Till Christ be formed in you. And what needs sanctified? What is it that needs sanctified? Is it not anything that it's not Christ-like in our lives? That's what needs sanctified. What I would do naturally and Christ's character, they're two different things. What I would do naturally and Christ's character are two different things. Let me just share in Romans 8, he talks about the carnal man. And many of those things that need sanctified are coming from the carnal man, the fleshly man. He mentions that there's a carnal man and there's a spiritual man. The one ministers life and the other one death. The one is enmity with God, the other is a sweet savor of Christ. Oh, I like that. You know, if after we were born again, we no longer lived in this earthly body, we would not need sanctification. Sanctification, I think, is going to be gone in heaven. We will no longer need sanctification. We're out of this earthly vessel that we're in. We talk about salvation. We need salvation. We talk about redemption and justification. And I think that's good and right. That's where it starts. You know, in modern Christianity, that's as far as they go. Redemption, salvation, and justification. And that's as far as they want to go. They don't know what to do with the book of James. They'd like to throw it out because he talks very practically in the books of James about where we need to go, what needs sanctified in our lives in some of these areas. We need sanctification to keep our temple from becoming defiled again. You know, it's glorious to know that we've received the forgiveness of our sins, but unless we allow God to do that work of sanctification in our life, we'll again become dirtied by all these natural and these wood and earth in us. We'll become dirtied again. Does that mean that we lose our salvation when God wants to sanctify us? It's a question I think is good for us to consider, because I have seen young Christians and older Christians who begin their walk with God, and their walk with God looks like this. Let me show you. You know, they start out, you know, on an upward slope, and then they find that some of these things are in their life, and they become discouraged, and down they go, and then they find victory again, and their life becomes like this. Just up and down, up and down. And I don't think that's God's heart. I don't think that's what God intended. Now, do we find those things in our life? Yes, we do. Does it take away our salvation? No, I don't think it does. Not when God wants to sanctify us. But Christ needs to become our sanctification, as well as our justification, as well as our redemption. He needs to become all of that to us. We can still be found in Christ. But if we begin, listen to this, but if we begin to resist God, the will of God, and we don't let God sanctify the earthly in us, dare I say that it will lead us away from God? Dare I say that? That if we begin to resist the will of God, that it will take us away from God. God wants to take what we would do naturally and replace it with the response that Christ Jesus would have. Think of this, like loving our enemies. Does that come natural? How many of you just naturally just love those who are just obnoxious and say all kinds of bad stuff about you? You just naturally just love them. It doesn't work that way in this earthly vessel that we live in. But there's sanctification needing to take place so that we can be like Christ. Christ naturally did, because he had the character of God in him. We can have the character of God in us, loving our enemies. Was it natural for Jesus to hang on the cross and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? It's sure not very natural for me, but that's where God wants us to come to. How about going the second mile? Is that a natural response that you and I have? Somebody just pulled out right in front of you, and they just poking along, and then they just turned left right in front of you, you know, and you had to come to a complete stop. You're driving this truck, you know, it's so hard to get going. What's our response? You know what I'm saying? What's our natural response? Those are things that need sanctified, to be like Christ. But it doesn't just happen naturally. I wonder how we relate to our neighbors. I don't know you all here. I don't know how, if I would go ask your neighbor, how's your neighbor? I would go ask your neighbor, how's your neighbors? What would they say? Terrible, hard to get along with. Always crowding the property lines, putting junk over on my side, or whatever, you know. You wouldn't believe, brothers and sisters, you wouldn't believe what I hear sometimes. And these are people that you and I rub shoulders with. They would consider themselves Christian. We might even sit in the same church building. And sometimes the things that I've heard have shocked me about how we respond to our neighbor and what for rights I think I have. And by law, you might have those rights, but not by God's law. Not by the law of Jesus Christ. The law of Jesus Christ causes us to go the second mile with our neighbor. If my watershed from my property is irritating my neighbor, what am I going to do about it? Think about it, you know? Well, that's his problem. You know, why do I need to be concerned about that? It's all a downhill slope. I can't help it. Or can we actually do something? Loving our neighbor as ourself becomes very practical. Let me go further here. In point number three, we want to keep going here. How does God go about to sanctify us? Here's just a few thoughts I have. And I think these are all ways that, and the reason I put them down here is because I feel like they're all ways that God has used in my own life to sanctify these things in my own life. And I think maybe we could probably, and maybe I'd be interested to hear as well, what has God used to sanctify your life? How does that go about? Jesus prayed in John 17, we're familiar there with the prayer of Jesus. In verse 15 to 19, he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. That would have been so much easier, right? If we get saved and God would just take us out of this world. No. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of this world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Then he says something notable. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I don't understand how Jesus himself says, I sanctify myself. How can you make something more perfect when it's already perfect? Like Christ was. But Jesus said, I sanctify myself. And he says, I'm praying not that you would take us out of this world, but Jesus prayed for us that we would be sanctified through the Word. That's how God sanctifies us, the Word of God. It's through the teaching, the preaching, the reading of the Word. It's through studying the Word that God reaches into our lives and he takes out that carnal nature within us and he points out those areas where we're not loving our neighbor as ourself. You see what I'm saying? Through the Word of God, he teaches us those things and he sanctifies us through that. Things that are not Christ-like. So I could also probably safely say that if I'm not absorbing the Word, this Word of God, I'm probably also lacking in sanctification. Am I safe to say that? That when we're not bathing ourselves, we know what it's like. Whew. I don't know how we used to do this. Simon, I don't know if you did this either, but when I was growing up, we lived on a farm. And I don't know what we were thinking. But we'd go do our chores and day after day, and we only took a bath on Saturday night. I was growing up. I don't know if you did that or not. Some of you, yeah, it kind of speaks your age there. But that would never have worked anymore these days, right? I don't know if the animals are more stinky these days than they were back then. Side note. Anyway, you know what it's like if we do not wash ourselves. In this book, in the Word of God, we become defiled again. We go back to that old way again. Those natural things. We need this continual sanctification in our lives. Daily washing ourselves, just like we do physically. Ephesians 5, verse 25 and 26 has this truth in it as well. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And I really think that I really do think this is God's preferred way of sanctifying us. I think that way. Let me go on and talk about some other ways that God sanctifies us. And I want to just lift that up, that I think this is God's preferred way, but sometimes we just don't get it. We just don't get it from the Word. So he moves on to step number two, you know. If you're not getting it, he wants us to get it because it's his will that we be sanctified. So if we're not getting it from the Word, sometimes he uses his Spirit, doesn't he? In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, we find this. And such were some of you, after a long list of things that are hardly fit to mention even. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Not only are we washed, but we're also sanctified through the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Have you ever had the peace of God just sort of leave you? Usually comes back to something like this. My attitude. Something I didn't respond right in. And the peace of God leaves, right? It's the Spirit of God begins to work. You know, that wasn't right. That was really harsh. Is this just me? Or do you all face that too in Pennsylvania? We face that in Ohio. I think you face it as well. The peace of God leaving. Or maybe God seems far away. Or God smites your heart about something that you said. Maybe it was not true. Or maybe you spoke evil of someone and your conscience bothers you. That's the Spirit of God sanctifying us. Did you lose your salvation? Probably not. But if you begin to resist that, you're on dangerous territory. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. It's very, very important that we listen for that voice, that still small voice. It's very important we listen for that voice and not grieve it. We want our ears to be open to the Spirit of God, convicting us of things that are not yet Christ-like. Another way that God uses, you know, we just don't always get it even then. After the Word of God and the Spirit of God, sometimes we still don't get it. And our children are much this way as well. We can talk to them till we're blue in the face sometimes. You know, this 3 or 4 year old, sometimes it takes more than that. And God knows that too. In Hebrews 12, verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. You know that the chastening of the Lord is a work of sanctification in my life. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. To who? Unto them which are exercised thereby. Chastening is a demonstration of God's love to us. And he uses this natural example of a father, how a father disciplines and chastens his son to bring a change about. And God does the same thing for us, to bring a change about so that we're more like Christ, so that we mirror the image of Christ in our lives. Now, it's not always pleasant. We know that. Chastening is never that way. Children, when mommy and daddy need to spank, is it very pleasant? No, it isn't, is it? And most of us don't want to go there. But it's necessary. And it's because mommy and daddy love you that they chasten you. And it's because our Heavenly Father loves us that He chastens us. It's a part of that work of sanctification He wants to do in us. And it's His love. It's His love. It's not a negative thing when He chastens us, that ye may be partakers of His holiness. There's that word holiness. That word holiness, that word has this word sanctified in it. That ye might be partakers of Christ's sanctification. If we're not learning what God has been trying to teach us through the Word, if we've not been learning through His voice, and we grieve the Spirit of God, it seems God moves on, and He needs to chasten us. He needs to chasten us, and that chastening comes in many different forms. I once heard that God often throughout the Old Testament, when He needed to chasten a man in the Old Testament, He would give him either sickness or financial difficulties. Think about that. And I'm not just lumping everything together. Get me right here. But I'm not just lumping it all together. I think there are things that come around and go around that is not necessarily a punishment of God. I want that clear here. But God does use sickness at times to chasten us. God does use financial difficulties sometimes to chasten us and to help us to walk in a sanctified way. Maybe it's our peace is gone, as we talked earlier. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get our attention. If we have moved to where God has to chasten us, maybe we should stop and think. And I have to do this for myself, because if I'm at this place of chastisement, when God has to chasten me, I've probably not been listening to the Word of God, and I've probably not been listening to the Spirit of God either, and God has to chasten me. I mean, we know how it is as parents, right? We'd much rather just talk to our children and be able to give them some guidance and direction and, whew, you know, just change your attitude. You know, let's just have a facelift here. Look how pouty you are, you know, and things just change. Beautiful. Isn't that right? That's how we want to be? That's how we want our children to be? What about God? You know, but sometimes we miss it. When we miss it again, God chastens us to bring us into line. And God isn't there condemning us. I don't believe He is. But we sense that He loves us, even while it doesn't feel good. God is always looking to better us, not to make us bitter. And can we open our hearts to that correction? And the last thing, no, I don't. There's two more that I have here. I'm going to wrap it up here shortly. Another way that God has used in my life, as well as I'm sure in yours as well, He's used other believers, other people. As iron sharpeneth iron, Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, iron sharpening iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. There is a sanctification work process going on at brothers' meetings, at sisters' meetings. As you fellowship together today after the service, there is sanctification going on as we rub against each other and things grate us a bit sometimes about each other. You know, his manners are just sort of poor. You know, can we bear one another in those things? You know, these things get really, really, really practical. And if we'll allow it, God will use others to speak into our lives. I've been sanctified by observing how others handle situations. And I'm thinking, whew, I know just how I would have responded there. But that was such a blessing. That was like Christ. God speaks to us through others. You know, I can't see what's on my back. You know, sometimes we used to play these little tricks on our siblings. You know, we'd eat these bananas and then peel the banana sticker off and stick it on somebody's back, and they walk around with a banana sticker on their back or a price tag or something, you know. But other people can point those things out. Did you know you have a sticker on your back? And sometimes we don't see things clearly, do we? We don't see our blind spot, but others can see it, and they can help sanctify those areas if we'll allow it. Maybe it's your spouse. Helps you see your response wasn't Christ-like. You know, sometimes this is harder to accept when it's my brother or sister. How about your biological brother or sister, and they want to point something out in your life? That just doesn't go down very well so many times. Maybe it's actually God trying to sanctify us. Maybe it's your parents. They want to give you some direction. You know, if you can be open to those things and allow others to speak into your life, God can do marvelous things in our lives if we would just open ourselves to those things. We'll become Christ-like much sooner. Maybe even asking others to speak into our lives. Young people, I think that's even a good practice for you. A good practice for us to open ourselves, maybe even regularly, for that kind of input from others. And not just from the brothers who's going to come alongside you and just pat you on the back. Oh, you're such a blessing. You're doing so good, you know. Not from those, but from that one that you can hardly stand. Say, what do you see in my life? Are there things that I should be looking at and changing in? That's not my first response. And that's not yours either. I almost guarantee it that that's probably not yours either. But that, just think about what God would maybe want to do in sanctifying us and us becoming more Christ-like. And there's something about you yourself going to, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, listen, whether it's your children, and you can open yourselves and say, children, what do you see? Where are those things that are not consistent with the character of Christ? What am I doing in areas that are offensive to you? And opening ourselves up that way. There's something about opening ourselves like that to somebody else. I find it's much easier to receive then. It's much easier if I just open myself rather than somebody coming and pointing those blind spots out. Isn't it? Isn't it easier to receive it? I think it is. Lastly, what does God use? This is a little different twist, but I think through the shortcoming of others, God can help us see things. And we don't have to make the same mistakes. Someone once said, our life is too short to make all the mistakes ourselves. Why can't we learn from others? Others' mistakes that they've made. The shortcomings of others as well. Not only that, but you know, sometimes things just rub us the wrong way. Something that my sister or my brother did, it just rubbed me the wrong way. Maybe it's in the local body, and it's hard to receive that comment by that person because you could point out 10 things in their life that they're failing in. And here they brought something small, just little in your mind, out. Are there those in your life that you just have a hard time to appreciate? Have we considered that God may be trying to sanctify my heart through that? Maybe it's my motives. Maybe it's selfishness. Think about it this way. If I ask this question, do you think that if I get irritated by others and what they're doing to me, do you think I'm allowing God to sanctify me if I get irritated by what they're doing to me? If a man, therefore, shall purge himself from these, brothers, sisters. Jesus is coming back, like we heard in the children's lesson, and he's coming back for a pure bride, a bride that has made herself ready. This is a part of it, being sanctified. A bride that hath made herself ready. He's coming back for one he has purchased with his own blood. He's coming back for a one that has sanctified himself through the word of God. He's coming back for a bride who is listening for the Spirit of God in their lives and not grieving the Spirit of God and pushing it away. Will you and I be that bride? Am I going to allow God to sanctify the wood and the earth in me? Purifying the gold, refining the silver. You know, I think daily that God gives us multiple tests to pass in this area of sanctification. I don't know how it is for you, but I find it that way. He wants to sanctify us and fashion us into the very image of his Son. Again, just reflecting on this verse in Galatians 4, verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. May that become our passion, to allow Christ to be formed in us. As long as we're in this flesh, I don't care if you're 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, or 95 years old. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to need that work of sanctification in our lives. May God help us to allow our hearts to be open to that, because he wants to do beautiful things in our lives. And the glory of Jesus can be lifted up. That's what it's all about, glorifying our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless each of you. Prayers are with you all. We're jealous about this congregation for some reason. You know, as we look into the future, we're jealous about this congregation, that it prosper, that it flourish, and it keeps on track. God bless each of you.